Stu, we're going to start with Choose Your News.
Okay, yeah, so, I love that.
Start with Choose Your News. And there's a really serious one and a couple of other stories that I think you'll be very, very interested in. So we'll do that. Let me tell you about American Financing. AmericanFinancing.net is a place that you can go where they are working for you and they are trying to find the right loan for you. And they're not a company that will do no money down, no ID. You don't have to be a citizen. You could be a ghost. They don't do that.
But that's the loan I want.
Yes, I know. That's why they won't give one to you like that. They do what's right for you in the long run, when really what's right for, you know, all of us, by not getting you into crazy loans. And that saves you in the long term. So go to American Financing. You're going to be able to get a mortgage quickly. You're going to close quickly. And it's going to be right for you. AmericanFinancing.net. Go there now.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know what? I'm going to ask Stu to choose the news. I think we start there because we could go right into the deep end of the pool today. Like story number one, Netflix begs people stop calling serial killer Ted Bundy hot.
He is pretty hot.
Yeah. Okay. Stop calling. Story number two, Mexico. Starting to look like Venezuela.
Mm.
I'm going to give you four choices. Story number three. Virginia is now trying to pass an abortion law that is just as extreme as New York and Rhode Island and Vermont. What is happening with our abortion laws? When you hear this audio, it'll blow your mind. Also, we do also have the story about the man who says his emotional support alligator is important and it helps his depression. Choose your news in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I don't know, I'll tell you a little bit about real estate agents, itrust.com. Real estate agents... I trust is not a real estate company. What it is it's a matchmaking service, and it makes a match between you, the listener of this program, who just wants to be treated fairly, just wants a no BS kind of thing, wants to sell their house at a fair price, buy a house at a fair price, get it done, have some integrity, get the best deal you can, sell your house as fast as you can, you know, and still get what it's worth.
The basics, right? The basics of a fair business transaction.
That's all you want. That's mm-hmm. all anybody really wants.
Yeah.
Well, we chose agents with a long track record of success and also the agents that have, you know, some moral fortitude. So you're not screwing around with some slimy person. The most important part of a sale or a purchase is evaluating the right price for your home. And that can only be done by somebody who knows your area, knows what a home like yours is worth in that area, and has a plan to sell it. Our agents are experts in your neighborhood. They do business like you. They share values. They sell your home fast and for the most amount of money, or they'll help you move wherever it is you're going. Meet a new friend. That's what we keep hearing in these letters from people that have sold. I feel like I'm moving away from a new friend, a real estate agent who will do you right.
Will they still sell you a house if you don't want to be friends with them? Is that possible?
Yes.
Because I don't want any new friends.
Yes,
I have the one or two that I need,
right.
And that's about all I want. Okay.
You and I, maybe we're getting old and grumpy because that's the way I feel. Oh, really? Yeah, not interested. Here's the deal. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. Choose your news.
I think, you know, most importantly, we should go with this, I guess it needs to be a change in the law, probably the biggest, you know, sort of health story that you talked about there, which would be the emotional support alligator.
That's where you want to start there.
I think we start with the emotional.
All right, well, it's, you know, it's an interesting story. York Haven, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania man says his emotional support alligator helps him deal with his depression. Joey Henney, 65, said his registered emotional support alligator named Wally likes to snuggle and give hugs. Now, I don't know how an alligator gives hugs with such little arms.
Right, famously small arms.
Right, right.
The reach comes from the mouth.
Right. He's a 5-foot-long alligator. He has now received approval from the doctor that Wally is an emotional support animal.
What does that mean? What do you mean they've received support from the doctor? What do you mean it's registered? What is that? What do these terms mean? They mean, what, did you sign up on a website and...
No, you went to the doctor.
You went to
and
the...
he said, I don't want to go on medication for my depression, mm-hmm. but my alligator makes me really happy. And if I could travel around with my alligator, I would never be lonely and I would be fine. Look, dude, you're going to be very lonely if you're walking around with an alligator. Okay. You know, the only person that's going to talk to you is the alligator. Mm-hmm. And when the alligator starts to talk and you start understanding the alligator, you're beyond depression, dude.
Plus, this is one of the 3 or 4 things that would guarantee you'd be lonely.
Yes. Right?
I mean, it's like,
yes.
Like carrying around an alligator or walking around an alligator everywhere you go guarantees that no one will ever come near you.
Right. So he said Wally was rescued from outside Orlando, 14 months old. He's still growing. Oh, that's good. He could be 16 feet long one day. He said Wally eats chicken wings and shares an indoor plastic pond with a smaller rescued alligator named Scrappy. Wally, who turns 4 this year, is a big teddy bear. Yeah, I got news for you. He's an alligator, and he will eventually eat a child or you if he thinks you taste like chicken.
Yeah, this is like the guy who, the Grizzly Man documentary. Do you know that story?
No.
It was a guy who really, he had a real connection with bears. And he would go in the woods and he would have these amazing interactions with bears.
Really?
And he kept trying to tell people, you're scared of bears, but bears are good creatures. They're good, quiet, loving creatures. Until he was filming himself and was eaten by a bear. And when that happened, it turned the documentary a little dark.
A little dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what happens here. Someday, this little cute story of the emotional support alligator turns into the inside of his dining room looking like a slaughterhouse.
You know what this is? This is a stupid guy who just hasn't had the money or whatever to move to Florida. Because remember when we moved to Tampa?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everyone said, and at first you don't understand it. Hey, welcome to Florida. By the way, don't ever reach into a bush here. What? What do you mean don't reach into a bush? You know, there's ponds and water around and stuff. Just don't reach into any of the bushes. So if you go golfing or something and it goes into a bush, leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Ah, well, because there's alligators. Okay. Alligators. Yeah. And some people move down and they think alligators are fun. And so they'll go out and they'll feed them chicken. And then, somebody's kid in the neighborhood is missing a few weeks later. What you mean it ate it? Yeah. Now, listen, here's how you run for an alligator. Don't run in a straight line. Wait a minute. Are we really having this conversation? Do you remember? Did you have that conversation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They tell you, I don't even know if it's true, but they tell you to run in zigzags.
Zigzags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't run in a straight line from an alligator. An alligator cannot turn corners fast. But they can run straight line much faster than you.
I don't even know if this is true. Do we know?
Don't know.
I don't know.
Don't care.
All I know is if I was running from an alligator, I would have attempted it. True or not.
Right. So one day we were driving home and we were driving on our street just to get home. It was like a cul-de-sac and we're driving on the street. And I stop because there is this 7-foot alligator that is just sunning himself across the street. So you can't drive. It's like a speed bump. And, you know, you don't want to run over the alligator, but I'm not getting out and saying, shoo, shoo. So we had our cell phone and we called the police and we said, what do we do in this situation? Oh, I got to call animal control. Okay, call animal control. Yeah, how big is he? I don't know, 6-7 feet. Oh yeah, we don't pick them up until they're 10 feet. Wait, what? What do you mean? So what do I do? Well, wait until the alligator moves. And we did.
How long did that take?
It took about an hour, I think. I mean, because none of us were willing to... I'm not getting out of my car. It's an alligator, man. So now this guy is, because he lives up in Pennsylvania, he's like, oh, these poor rescued alligators. It's a deadly animal. And it's a wild animal. You don't treat an... Stu, does an alligator make a good pet?
I would argue no. Does not make a good pet.
Well, as long as you always remember it's an alligator, it's a fine pet. This guy doesn't remember it's an alligator. He thinks it's a snuggly toy. And if this guy comes on an airplane, dude, I'm sorry. If that's your emotional support, you know what? You need to stay off this plane because you are nuts and you have no judgment. You're not going to be able to open the door if this thing goes down. So you certainly are not sitting in an exit aisle. You are not sitting in an exit seat because you're never going to be able to open the door. Second of all, the only way that alligator is getting onto a plane with me is if you make it into luggage.
And then, then
shoes, a briefcase, a belt, whatever. Other than that, if it's not carrying your clothes, that ain't getting on the plane.
Isn't it, though? It's a bigger issue than just the emotional support alligator, in that the emotional support animal is just a giant scam for people to bring their pets wherever they want to go.
Oh, I think so.
I mean, they're seeing this on airplanes all the time. People just bring more and more of their pets that get more and more exotic because of this bizarre cutout they have that, you know, there are people that have, you know, mental distress and have severe ailments that, you know, reportedly respond well to animals, and there's a reason to understand that that's possible and has happened before. But now it's just people being like, look, you get it registered. And my understanding of the registering process of this is anybody can register. There's no official process. You just go and get it registered from anybody who says they registered. And then you can say, I have a registered emotional support animal. And then because these airlines and other places have been like, well, for people who really need them, maybe we can make exceptions. Well, it's registered. I guess we have to let them on. And it's becoming more and more of a problem because, you know, 90% of this stuff is just nonsense. People like their pets. They want to bring them on planes.
So we have canines, and they're registered protection animals. Mm-hmm. And so they have to wear the vest and they have an actual tag and a license and everything else. And I think there is a place for, like, I know a lot of people who are soldiers, PTSD.
Yeah, that's a great
and
example.
It works for them. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you have a registered dog as your, you know, emotional support, but I think you're right. I think people who carry them around in purses a lot of times, and they carried them around in purses because they couldn't get a bigger dog because then they couldn't take them everywhere, are now just getting a dog and going, oh yeah, this is my emotional support. Really? Is it? And beyond that, even if it is and it's your dog, okay. If it's your cat, and I hate cats, okay. An alligator.
No. You don't get to make... That's emotionally distressing everyone else around you.
Yes.
Like, the overall
you
is a negative.
You might be depressed, but we're in full-fledged panic here. Oh. What the hell is happening to us? As a nation, what is happening to us? All right, let me tell you, Valentine's Day is it the first yet? No, when is that?
It's this weekend for sure. Today is January 30th.
So my wife, she's making me drink celery juice. Okay?
Oh, jeez.
She's making me drink celery juice, and it's awful. I hate it. And she's like, gotta get healthy. Well, you know what? You're going to make me hang myself, and I'm ready for an emotional support alligator over the stupid celery juice.
Certainly the hanging yourself isn't her actual goal. No, of course not. Definitely
so anyway,
not.
Wait a minute. Maybe it. So last night she comes in after telling me healthy. She comes in with this big bag of all kinds of chocolate. And I'm like, is this for the kids for school tomorrow? Are they doing something? What is the big bag of chocolate? She said, no, it's Valentine's Day. No, it's not. It's still the end of January. It's not Valentine's Day. What do you have bags of chocolate that you have bought? Because she likes chocolate. She likes chocolate. So she's going to eat chocolate and force me to drink celery juice. I'm telling you, I'm canceling Valentine's Day in my house. I'm canceling it.
Good
luck with
that.
Holding it hostage.
You'll need an emotional support alligator afterwards.
Yes, she'll feed me to one. Mm. Okay, so here's the deal. 1-800-FLOWERS. If you want to have flowers, red roses, this is the last day. And trust me, you're going to hear all about the colorful roses and the multicolored roses, because red roses are the desired rose, and you can get them, but they're a lot more expensive the closer we get to Valentine's Day. Today is the last day. You can get 18 red roses for $29.99 or upgrade them to 24 roses for $10 more. Unbelievable offer. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Red roses are a must. It's 1-800-flowers.com. That's 1-800-flowers.com. Use the promo code Beck. $10 more, you get the 24 roses or 18 roses. Red for only what is it? I don't know. What did I say? $29.99. You're not going to get this offer. It ends today. That's 1-800-flowers.com. 1-800-flowers.com. Promo code Beck. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. Emotional support alligator. What a ridiculous. All right. Want to go back to choose your news here for a second?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to add one more in. We can do the abortion thing, which is amazing audio that everybody needs to see. We have the story of Mexico, how it is becoming like Venezuela. That's a really important story. We also have a story here. I'm going to add in the great paradox of the Trump presidency. This is something Anderson Cooper and CNN was talking about. He was talking to a guest and he said he's the most authentic president ever. And Anderson Cooper said, what? Yeah, he's the most authentic president ever. They didn't understand it. I think they're absolutely right. Choose your news.
I think this abortion thing is, I do want to hear this audio.
Okay.
So,
all right. So the abortion thing, this is in Virginia. I want to play this audio. This is in Virginia. The legislature is now talking about a new bill to make abortion legal all the way up to birth. Now, we have a partial birth abortion restriction, right?
A ban.
It's a ban. Can't do it. How can you do this all the way to birth? Well, you don't partially birth. You have to kill the child, not with the feet and the shoulders out, and just the head.
Which is how they used to do it.
Right. Now they just go in and kill the child, and then you birth the baby 2 days later. Okay? So you're still going through all of the birth. You're doing that, but you're birthing a dead baby.
And think about that. You're delivering the child. Mm-hmm. You're just delivering the child after it died.
Right. But
so
you're
you could
saying,
easily deliver the child alive and then give it up for adoption. That
correct.
Was always the argument was, well, we don't want to carry it to term. I mean, that's you're causing emotional distress and all these terrible things. Well, you're actually birthing the child in this scenario. And still, they want it to happen.
And they think that their excuse is, well, it might be emotionally distressful for the woman. Well, wait, will it be more emotionally distressed to have a child, then give it to a loving family, or to birth a dead child and go through that experience? Which is it? Which is it?
We know it has nothing to do with either one of those things.
Correct.
It has nothing to do with
correct.
It.
Correct. This is just leading us to murder children. Children. Okay. So, listen to the questions. This is in Virginia in legislature as they are discussing the bill as written. Listen to this.
How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
Or physical health.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm talking about the mental health.
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay. But to the end of the third trimester.
Yep. I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
Where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth. She has physical signs of that she is about to give a birth. Would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a, you know, a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman
I understand
make
that.
At that
I'm asking
point.
If your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
So it's if in the off chance that a woman experiences pain during pregnancy or birth, that would be a threat to her health, and therefore she could have an abortion. So if the birth and somehow, and I don't know if this has ever occurred to a woman, but if it somehow becomes painful during the birthing process, if there is an indication of discomfort physically or mentally, at that point they can have a mental health exemption from these laws.
Yeah, except the problem is, if it's, you know, going to be painful or hard, she still has to give birth to the child 2 days later, dead.
Oh, well, of course. But that, luckily, though, there'll be no mental stress because the baby won't be alive. That's where it all comes from, Glenn. The birthing process is it's always been a wonderfully easy process for women. And now, if we happen to see some discomfort, that certainly the abortion's the only answer there.
This is absolutely unbelievable.
I mean, there's no one on earth who believes that is anything other
than murder.
I mean, like, you're talking about a 9-month baby that can come out at any time. You're going to have to birth it anyway. It's just going to be dead when you birth it instead of alive. There's no way to justify that. It's impossible. And, you know, if you go back to the partial birth abortion ban, what you'll find is a lot of Democrats saying that is ridiculous. We're never going to do that. That's not what we're talking about. This is a slippery slope, though. You're going to go for more. And that was their argument against the bill. It was never against partial birth abortion. It was against, look, you're going to try to go after, this is your slippery slope. It's your little window in to take away all women's rights when it comes to their reproductive health. Now, it's going to be a litmus test for every Democratic candidate to come into that primary and tell you that, yes, 3 seconds before birth is appropriate. You know what? Maybe we should get rid of that partial birth abortion ban. Maybe a couple of minutes after, if it's only a couple of minutes, maybe if it's still connected to the umbilical cord, it counts and we could still do it then. They will go through every iteration of this to try to justify it because they're all going to be in this giant contest to move further and further left to bring the death of innocent children to the foreground of this debate. It's a miracle if you're wanting crazy socialists to run against, because that's what you're going to see here. But it's scary because once it gets down to a one-on-one contest, anything can happen. And if Kamala Harris or you know, one of these crazy, any of them really.
It's gonna you think Beto's going to not march to this tune?
He'll be there too.
All of them will.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
You know, Liberty Safes aren't just for white, right-wing, white men, extremist, women haters. Liberty Safe, not just for storing guns and ammo. No. You could be a Gillette enlightened man and own a Liberty Safe, storing things from, I don't know, purses to your lipstick. Yes, man lipstick. You can do it. Be a man. Put it in Liberty Safe and put your purses, like Stu, you got purses in your safe?
Oh, yeah.
Put your purses in there with your man lipstick and your high heels. Be a man like Stu.
I need more access to my lipstick. So
ghetto. Get a Liberty Safe. Keep everything that is important to you in a Liberty Safe. Best built safe in America, bar none. Check them out right now at libertysafe.com. That's libertysafe.com.
iPatriots.us is a new conservative alternative to liberal-based email services. It's secure, private, and safe, no ads or spam, and they won't collect or sell your data ever. Go to iPatriots.us right now, pick your membership. At checkout, select your own iPatriots email address, enter promo code PATRIOT, get the first month free. Go month to month, cancel anytime.
Welcome to the program. Mr. Pat Gray joins us now on the Glenn Beck program. Pat.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah.
Great.
What is on your plate today? We were just talking about the abortion bills.
I was talking about that this morning as well.
Yeah.
The one in Virginia now that's mimicking the one in New York.
Yeah. So you have Virginia.
Crazy.
You have Virginia, Rhode Island, Vermont, New York.
It defeats what pro-abortion people have said all along during this debate. The argument was in the beginning at... It's tissue. This at this stage, that is more like a fish than a human being. That's not a human being. So just You can't make that argument when it's a fully developed child, and yet it's okay to abort the baby at 9 months. I mean, I thought the argument was
safe,
rare,
legal.
And legal. And, you know, it's for women who didn't want to put their body through that at this time, can't handle the pregnancy, whatever. Well, at 9 months, you've already handled everything. You've gone through morning sickness.
And
you've gone through this discomfort of gaining weight and all the stress that puts on your body.
And you still have to birth the child.
Right.
They just kill it.
Yeah.
And you give birth to a dead child, which I think has got to be worse. I don't know. I'm not a woman, but I would think of having something dead inside of you that you are now having to birth would mm-hmm. be
traumatic.
Traumatic.
Physically as well as emotionally,
yes,
you would
yes.
think. So it just, this doesn't make any sense. I don't know if we're just being Overton windowed again.
I do think there's an element of that. Because, I mean, look at where this debate is currently occurring. Should it be 9 months or not? I mean, the American people are not there. I mean, the debate on abortion has been the first trimester.
Right.
Largely. By the way, that's right. What Roe versus Wade said. It said first trimester.
And, you know, I mean, they've made the argument that it's not life yet all along. But, I mean, when you think about a bacteria on Mars, would they fight like hell to save bacteria on Mars? Because that's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know they would. You know mm-hmm. they would. Eagle eggs, they would fight to. You couldn't kill eagle eggs. You'd probably go to jail for that.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you would.
I mean, look how hard they fought for the cave-dwelling Paiute trout. But for babies, yeah, we've got no concern whatsoever. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't make any sense to me. And it's, you know, I know we're trying to moderate our language, but it's evil. There's no other word for it. It's evil.
You know, see, I don't think you moderate. I'm not trying to moderate my language. I'm trying to be exact with my language.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that Democrats are evil because I don't think Democrats are evil.
But this
action is evil.
Is evil.
This is
bill
evil.
Is evil.
When you are talking about a child, and I think the vast majority of Democrats would tell you in a safe zone where they don't think that their words would be taken and then used to empower Donald Trump or whatever it is people think. If they were in a safe zone, they would say, no, this is ridiculous. This is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
To kill mm-hmm. a child right before birth. There's no morality in that. That's evil.
And that's what pro-choice voters tell pollsters.
Yes.
The most recent poll has only 25% of pro-choice voters who believe the third trimester, that's, you know, month 7, 8, 9, too. It's not just right before birth, but even month 7, only 25% say that should be legal. Not whether it's right or wrong, just legal at all for anyone
25%
to choose.
Wow. Of pro-choice.
Yeah, so it's 15% of overall adults, but mm-hmm. 25% of pro-choice adults. That is, you know, a very minor portion. And it's only, when it comes to the second trimester, it's still less than half of pro-choice voters. 39% total say you should be able to have it in the second or third trimester. Now, remember, the debate as far as legislation goes right now from red states is, should we limit abortion to 20 to 24 weeks? Okay. Mm-hmm. That is what they're trying to get done in states across the country. You know, conservative legislatures are saying, let's just stop it at the second trimester. Well, it's only 39% of pro-choice voters who want it in the second trimester mm-hmm. and only 24% of overall adults. Yet somehow the Democrats are out there and they're going to have a field of 20 candidates, all of which saying 5 seconds before birth is absolutely fine for abortion. That is an amazing. Overton Window is a great observation, Pat, because it's what they're doing. We are having this debate about 9 month abortions when almost no one in the country thinks it's appropriate. Almost nobody.
And what they're doing is they're getting people to say, OK, I mean, you know, first trimester, that's OK.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we should never.
No, it's not okay.
We should never cede to him.
Right. But in comparison.
You're right.
In comparison.
Which is what the Overton window is all
exactly
about.
Exactly right.
And it works effectively. And we've
every
seen it
time.
How many times?
Every time. Except this one isn't just proposing something. They're actually enacting these.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like, I'm going to say some extremist things and then I'm going to back off. No, they're actually putting this in. I think this has everything to do with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which, by the way, Eric Bolling made a great point last night. Why is it that it was okay for the press to say, Melania Trump had some sort of surgery? We haven't seen her in 15 days. What is this surgery? Is her health really okay? That was totally fine. But why is it no one, including Fox, is asking, where the hell is Ruth Bader Ginsburg? How is her health? She's not showing up. And my only response is, because people at Fox and the people on the right know. And so do people on the left. She's not well. She's going to die. It's only a matter of time. She's very unwell. And why we can't even ask, here's somebody who is not the first lady, so she has nothing to do with our government, nothing to do with our lives. This is someone who is a sitting Supreme Court justice. What's her health?
And a critical one at this juncture.
Right.
A critical one. If anything happens to her, whether she retires or, you know, heaven forbid, dies, can you imagine the battle there will be over the replacement? I mean, this is a critical juncture in history, and the left will go apoplectic if anything happens where Trump can.
They're going to go apoplectic.
Appoint another one.
Do you remember who was Barrett? What was her name that was thinking about? She was the one that you're an extremist.
Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah, you're an extreme. You believe religious stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we can't have you. So what do? They get Kavanaugh. Look at how they reacted to Kavanaugh.
Yeah,
they're going to react to whoever it is.
It doesn't matter.
There's no way you're not going to get that fight. It's going to be Kavanaugh. They're going to accuse him of being the original inspiration for Michael Myers by the end of that.
And you know what?
Has he ever worn the mask?
I don't know. They're going to find a picture of it.
Think about how extreme they are. They are now fighting for killing a child when a woman goes into labor. Okay? They're that extreme. Who could they possibly accept beside Karl Marx or Jeffrey Dahmer? I mean, who would they be okay with? There's not going to be anything but a fight on that. And if it's not a conservative who's president, I'm afraid who they'll pick. You know, when you're looking at Howard Schultz and they are screaming at Howard Schultz. Now, I don't agree with a Starbucks guy. I don't like the Starbucks guy. Well, look what he did with the, I'm closing it down because, we obviously don't know as white people how to treat, people of color. Excuse me? It was so insulting. But here's a guy that if he were president, you could negotiate with. Why? Because he doesn't hate capitalism and he doesn't hate the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, he's pro-choice, he's very liberal, he's got all kinds of other ideas, but he doesn't want to fundamentally transform the United States of America.
At least he sees the debt as a big problem.
Right.
Like there's a couple things you could say, all right, well, that's, he's right on that.
Right.
You can't find that with
you can't find that with
Ocasio-Cortez.
There's almost no common ground with the extremists they're running or talking about running.
Mm-hmm.
There's no common ground anymore. And
think about how much common ground there is with Ted Cruz, but they won't accept it.
No.
There's so much common ground with somebody like Ted Cruz. You could.
Or Donald Trump. I mean,
Donald Trump.
Trump ran on a giant infrastructure bill, and they won't even address it because, honestly, they don't care about infrastructure. They care about taking him down.
Look at the justice reform, the criminal justice reform bill that many of them voted against just because they didn't want to give Trump a win.
Yeah.
That was up their alley, but they couldn't. Find themselves their way to vote for it.
Van Jones is a pariah. Van Jones did the criminal reform bill with Donald Trump, and he's like, guys, this is a giant win. What are you, one of them Trump supporters? Van Jones.
He's a communist. Remember?
This guy is now too conservative. It's nuts.
Now Van Jones's picture is up at the Koch brothers meeting. Did you see that? Seriously. Legitimately, he was. Because the Koch brothers.
Because he was behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, he
Koch
funded
brothers
it.
Have supported the criminal justice reform thing for a very long time. And now,
can you imagine the ads? The ads would be because
Do you know that Donald Trump is in bed with some of the evil people in the world, the Koch brothers and Van Jones?
Wait, what?
What? You mean the communist from the Obama administration? How is this? This is wild, man. This is insane.
It's a crazy world.
When they go so far that Van Jones is looks moderate.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, that Howard Schultz doesn't even belong in the party anymore. I mean, this guy is a lifelong Democrat. He would agree with us on maybe 5% of things, right? Like he thinks that the debt is a big problem, right? Like that's something you'd understand. He doesn't like Elizabeth Warren's billionaire tax, right? Like there's a couple things that you could find where you'd agree with Howard Schultz, but generally he's just he's the Democrat that Democrats used to be. You know, it wouldn't be one that I would vote for, but now he doesn't even have a place in the party.
I think he's the Democrat that the average Democrat still is. They're just not in Washington. They're just not allowed to say it. They're not allowed to embrace it. And it's going to be, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be the exact opposite election where we had looked at Hillary Clinton and said, she's the devil. Okay, I remember Alex Jones was like, you smell sulfur around her. She's the devil. All right. There are people that believe on the other side that Donald Trump, at all costs, he must never be president, not for another day. And they will do anything. Many of us, and we had the evidence, we had decades of evidence. She is corrupt to the core. She's corrupt. And it will, I mean, the Republic is doomed with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anybody, and we started looking at just win, just stop her. That is going to be the mindset of the Democratic Party. Just stop him.
And that's why they would be fine with Schultz running as a Democrat. Like they're half saying he's evil. And they don't want him, you know, he's just a billionaire who's out for himself. What a jerk. And it's like, well, but if he ran for a Democrat, then he can try to flesh that out in the Democratic primary. Well, why would you want him to be your candidate if you think he's a evil billionaire jerk? Well, it's because they're worried about the independence.
They know it's the Ross Perot.
Right. Yeah,
they're worried about the Ross Perot effect.
Have you heard him interrupted over and over again? You're just an evil billionaire and you're going to make Trump win.
But join our party and run with us.
Right. It's just...
What a world.
Oh, man. I need an emotional support alligator. That's what I need. All right. Let me tell you about Relief Factor, our sponsor. If you're in constant pain, you're not alone. Pat is there in constant crippling pain. And you still have to get up and go to work. Over 50 million people have it so bad that they are missing work due to pain. And the average American spends $2,000 a year to combat their pain. 66% of us believe you're going to have pain for the rest of your life.
You don't have to spend money like that, though. I mean, that's a lot of money to be dishing out. Why wouldn't you try something that's easy, that's right there, it's $20 to try? I mean, Relief Factor's a great way to go because you don't have to get into the middle of all the pharmaceuticals. You don't have to get in the middle of the ongoing costs that are super high. This is easy. It's natural. And you can try it for almost nothing.
Yeah. So you try it. You take $20. You try it. You try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, stop taking it. This is them. Don't order. We're going to give you the trial for 3 weeks. If it works, you're going to know within 3 weeks. If it doesn't, don't order anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's that easy. Try it. Get your life back. I tried it. I stupidly did not do it because, I don't know, I don't believe in, you know, natural remedy. I don't believe in all that stuff. So I stupidly didn't do it. We advertised on this network for 4 years. Finally got to a point where, like, I don't care anymore. I'll try anything. I did, and it's working. For the last year, I got my life back. Do it. Try it. ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. Let me go to Frank in Florida, who's got some alligator news for us. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, good morning. It's sunny Southwest Florida, 55 degrees.
Shut up.
But, yeah, and I'm not drinking any celery juice. So.
Right. Shut up.
So anyway, my news is, you cannot zigzag and outrun an alligator. An alligator runs 35 miles an hour for 100 yards. So the question is, can you zigzag at 35 miles an hour for 100 yards?
No, but I'd try. I would try. You can't. I mean, alligators. This guy who says he has an emotional support alligator that he feeds chicken and lives in his house is insane. The guy's going to get eaten.
The only way to do that, he has to have it electrical tape the mouth shut every time he goes out, for protection of other people. But down here, if you get caught feeding an alligator, it's a $500 fine, and the alligator is put down immediately because the alligator associates people with food.
Yep.
So they're not, then they don't become afraid of.
That's how children, little children, go missing in Florida. Because some neighbor has fed the alligators chicken and they see a little bag of meat and it's a child. Don't feed an alligator. And the guy in Pennsylvania, I'm counting the days till you're eaten. Homeowners, want to talk to you here. There is a data breach just exposed 24 million Americans to home title fraud. Look, I just want to say this. There are things that we advertise for on this show that I don't use, but I have checked the product out and everything else, and I believe in it. But this one is one that I joined, Stu joined, Pat joined before we were doing commercials, because I don't remember who first heard about it, but we went around and we were like, we got to talk to these home title lock people because this is crazy. It is so easy to steal your home, your title, then take a loan out against that home that you own or think you own, and then you lose everything. We have this, and I highly recommend you have this. Even more important is if you have a family or your mom and dad are still alive and they own their home and it's paid for, they are super targeted. So please get Home Title Lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com. You're going to get a free title scan and report. That's $100 value free with just signing up. HomeTitleLock.com. Do it now. All right.
Seconds.
The show begins in about 15 seconds. We have a great, great segment with Selena Zito. She is the author of The Great Revolt, and she's a journalist you can trust. She's got a great story.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
It's 25 below in Minnesota. It's like 40 below in Chicago. I think I saw it was 12 or 14 below in Louisville, Kentucky. Okay. All right. I want to find the listener who is in the coldest spot in the audience. Who has the lowest temperature? Come on, bring it on. Bring it on. Because we're sitting here today just freezing to death at like 45 degrees. And it's crazy in Texas. Tell us the lowest temperature that you are sitting in right now and what life is like. Call us 888-727-BECK. But we're going to start the show with Selena Zito. Selena just wrote a great article. Trump and Ocasio-Cortez use the same tricks to win at politics. Why is the left so upset at Donald Trump? Selena, in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I am really so excited. I think we're going to see maybe if Rafe will come in and we'll open the 23andMe thing on the air. He's an adopted son, and we want to know his health stuff, but we also want to know his genealogy. Where is he from? Where is he really from? We know that his mother has roots in Scotland, but that's all we know. And I'm really, really looking forward to opening it up. I'm a little nervous too, and you know.
What if it says like Russian spy?
Right. He could be Russian spy. Mm-hmm. What if he was responsible for Donald Trump winning the election?
Oh my gosh.
Without any of us, including him, knowing it.
This will be on CNN in 5 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Collusion. It just comes back and just says collusion. All right. 23andMe. They're more than just ancestry. They will also tell you about your health.
I'm really looking forward to getting that part. 129 or 25 different things that are personalized insights on your health. And that's really kind of some catastrophic stuff and also just your sleeping habits and things that you can do that will actually help you. 23andMe, get a DNA kit. It is secure. I talked to them at length about the security of it, and I trust them that it is secure. And they've already fought court battles and subpoenas, the government trying to get some genetic stuff. They've won all the court battles. 23andMe, you're secure with 23andme.com/Beck. Go there now. Get your DNA. Find out your ancestry. Find out the personal insights that can help you live a better, longer life. 23andme.com/Beck. 23andme.com/Beck. So the article starts, they're both brash, outer borough New Yorkers, each with their own notorious nickname. She's AOC and he's the Donald. Both shocked their parties by coming out of nowhere to win their elections, defeating members of the establishment despite being greatly outspent. And both have broken the rules of D.C. politics in strikingly similar ways, using social media to push policy and usher in previously uninspired voters. Welcome, Selena Zito, a real journalist and one who really looks for the truth and then balances it with common sense as well to tell the story. Selena, what is the point? Hey. What is the point of your article other than the fact that they both are cut from the same cloth in their approach, not their policies, but their approach?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So I think the larger point, which I still think some people don't get, is that they speak to and or speak for segments of society that have felt as though they are not, they haven't been brought in as part of, fulfilling or living the American dream. They speak to people who oftentimes the establishments of both parties either take for granted, use their vote, and it'll leave them behind. So take Republicans, for example. Republicans were more than happy to get independent and Democratic voters or voters that didn't vote a lot to be swept up in the Tea Party movement in 2010 to help them usher in majorities, not only in the House, but also down ballot and in governor's offices. They were more than happy and happy to welcome them in 2014 when they took the Senate and won even more Republican seats. But, they didn't really want them when it came to the presidential election because they did not understand that these voters were going to reject the establishment because the establishment hadn't listened to them for at least two generations. And the same goes with Democrats. Democratic voters, especially in particular young millennial voters and minority voters, don't feel as though the Democratic establishment has their back. In fact, they think that they're corrupt. Look at the way that Bernie Sanders was treated by the DNC. Mm-hmm. They believe those things are unfair and weighted towards the establishment and away from their voices. You may not agree with Trump voters. You may not agree with AOC's voters, but they have a point.
So, Selena, I think what's happening with the Democrats is absolutely fascinating. First of all, when you look at the average Democrat, is saying the Democrats are moving too far left and they're going crazy. Where I think the average Democrat would look at a guy like Howard Schultz if he wasn't looked at as a party spoiler. And the average Democrat would probably go for him, where they're not into this socialist thing. However, The other part that they're not haven't listened to and betrayed is this socialist who, since Woodrow Wilson, has been told, no, we're just progressing to this socialist utopia. That's what happened in France that led to the book, yeah. The Coming Insurrection. The communist and the socialist said, I've had enough. You keep telling us you don't believe in this system, but you're never going to take us over the finish line. And it's time. So who in the end do the Democrats have?
You know, it's going to be, here's really what's really difficult. First of all, I thought the reaction by Democrats to Howard Schultz running was ridiculous. They literally lost their minds when he decided that he's going to run as a centrist. What does that tell you? It tells you that they know their party is too far left. They know they can't appeal to the squishy middle, which, by the way, a large segment of the society is in the squishy middle. They look at politics as a buffet, and they like this, and this person, but they don't like that. That's why we have big wave election cycles in our midterms, because we keep sending a message with who we vote for, and Washington keeps misreading it and thinking we like them again.
Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. You are still looking at Howard Schultz, and you say that it was shocking to you, but they're looking at Schultz as a spoiler, and they are taking the position that so many people took. Look, if somebody would have run third party, if Kasich or Cruz or anybody would have run third party, that person would have been done in politics forever. Because it was anyone but Hillary, and we have to defeat Hillary. That's the mindset, I think, going into 2020 with the Democrats. Anyone but Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. They're terrified of a third party candidate because it could, you know, definitely have a huge impact on who their nominee is. So what does that tell you, Glenn? It tells me that they are afraid of the direction that their own party is mm-hmm. going. They understand it's too far left, yet they can't stop it. Why? Because the activists on either side of the party tend to push through the furthest to the left or right in a primary situation. And that's what they're facing. The most sort of boisterous and noisy people in the party and the ones that are most invested in politics are the ones to the furthest left. Had there not been that sort of force field of the superdelegates for the Democrats, Bernie Sanders, in all likelihood, would have been the nominee.
So how are they going to get through? I mean, I'd love to hear your opinion. Then we got to get back to Ocasio-Cortez and her traits that are similar to Trump. But right now you have Virginia, Rhode Island, Vermont, and New York pushing through everything but partial birth abortion. And the only reason why they don't include that is because we have a ban on it. So the minute the woman is dilated and they say push, at any time she can say, kill the baby, I don't want this baby. And they will. It's so unbelievably extreme. Why are they pushing that through? Why are they going this far? If you say, they know they're too extreme. Why are they doing that then?
Because they live within, it's what I outlined in the book. They live within these super zip codes, and they all think alike, and they're so sort of outside the mainstream Democratic position on abortion. If you look at the statistics, in particular among young people have become more pro-life over time. And it has, and it's not all about religion. It's also about science. Science has changed, and artificial intelligence has changed an abundant amount of things in our life, including how we view abortion. You can see what your baby looks like and see a heartbeat a much faster speed than you could 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You know there's life in you. And these young people see that. They see that through when they're in school, when they're taught about things in their science classes, but they also see that in their personal lives when they make personal decisions.
For 30 years ago, I said if there was a window to a womb that was natural, abortion would stop because you would see it as a baby. It's our eyes that are allowing us to live in this life, live this lie. And as technology gets better, we'll recognize a child earlier and earlier. And that is what's happening to the millennials right now.
Absolutely. The millennials and Gen Z are much more pro-life than Gen X and the boomers were.
Okay, so let me go back to Ocasio-Cortez and the things that she is doing right now that you say she has in common with Donald Trump, and the left doesn't seem to have a problem with it with her, but they do with Donald Trump. Explain that when you come back in 1 minute. All right, literally 1 minute. You're never more than 60 seconds away from the rest of the show. We're going to stop here for 1 minute so I can tell you about My Patriot Supply. I'm guessing millions of Americans right now went out shopping to fill their refrigerators and their pantries. They wrapped their exterior pipes so they won't freeze. They filled their cars with gas. They made sure they had candles and batteries and everything was exactly right. If they didn't have every glove, they went out to make sure everybody had gloves. It all makes sense. When you know something is coming, you prepare. We prepare to make sure that you have enough money for retirement. You save for the unexpected medical expense or the repair on your home. You have fire insurance. You have car insurance. Why don't you have food insurance?
Why don't Seems you, like it'd be an important part of the living
food and water. Yeah. Hello. Mm-hmm. All right. This is the final week for a special offer now from My Patriot Supply. It's a 4-week food kit that averages 2,000 calories a day. Go to preparewithglenn.com. Save $100 on it today. That, again, is a 4-week food kit. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You've got the calories that you need. And it lasts up to 25 years in storage, and it's actually really good. Prepare with Patriot Supply, My Patriot Supply. Smart thing to do. All you have to do, this week is the last week for this offer. Go to preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com. 10 seconds, station ID. So the old crypt keepers in Washington, D.C., they don't like Donald Trump because he short circuits the system. The crypt keepers in the media don't like it because he goes around them. But Ocasio-Cortez is doing exactly the same thing. And that's what your article is pointing out. Tell me about it.
Absolutely. So she goes, I mean, just think about the 2 days after she won her election in November, she went and attended a protest in Nancy Pelosi's office and walked around and high-fived everyone in the office. I mean, she knew that Pelosi was going to be the next Speaker of the House, but yet she was very defiant in projecting to her voters, plus people who, you know, believe in her cause, that she was going to buck the system. And she has done it in the same way that Trump has. She goes against her party multitudes of times. She says outrageous things on Twitter. She flirts with the truth, much in the same way that Trump does, and is unapologetic for all of them. But most importantly, she gives voice to people who feel that they don't have a voice. I would argue that is the problem that the Democrats have. And they have these two sort of completely different forces within their party.
Yeah,
you have
time.
The more centrist Democrats who want things to be a little more normal, to have a party that's a little more stable. And then you have the people to the left who embrace many aspects of socialism and who are very strongly identify with social justice causes, who are pushing back against them and saying, your time has gone. We don't really explore that division because they aren't the party in power, but it is as bad and or worse than the Republicans' division leading up to 2016.
So this is why I thought the election last year, if we hadn't created this nightmare scenario where we're at each other's throats and we could have a logical conversation, the election last year, I thought should have been between Bernie Sanders and Ted Cruz or somebody like Ted Cruz, because that's where I think the people are. We are at this choice. We're going to drop capitalism and go for social justice, or we're going to stick to the Constitution and we're going to clean capitalism up and everyone has to live under the same laws. That's really where we are, but that's not where either party is. So who wins in the end? Are the Nancy Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer going to win, or are the Ocasio-Cortez, Kamala Harris people?
Well, that's sort of the great question. Kamala Harris, hopefully I'm saying that right, and AOC are the noisiest of the two sides. So that means they get the most attention. Does that project them into a win? It's hard to tell. And I think even a lot of voters, and so if you go back and you look at the election in 2018 and you look at a lot of those suburban districts, you saw a lot of these races were at like 1%, right? There were a lot of suburban Republican voters who went to the Democrat side because they ran moderates and they didn't feel comfortable in the Republican Party, but they don't belong over in the Democratic Party. And they're up for grabs. And I think that conflict that you talk about, the Cruz-Sanders conflict, is what is going to either split them to one side or the other. And I don't know what happens to the Nancy Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer's going forward, because I think the tenets of the party have become too far left.
All right. I was just talking to John Miller, who is our White House correspondent, and he was saying that when he's in the press room, the press does not like Jim Acosta. They might agree with him. They don't like Donald Trump, but they are sick of him because they know he's a showboater and everything else. And I've heard rumblings that the same is being said now about Ocasio-Cortez, that there's a lot of people who are like, all right, calm down, slow down. Is there a chance she wears out her welcome?
Well, that's the big question, right? Honestly, I've never seen a young person or a member of Congress come in and create the attention and disruption that she has in my career covering politics. When you go to Washington, you're one of 435, right? You're not supposed to be the center of attention unless you're in leadership, no matter what party it is. But this is a new world, Glenn. And it's hard to sort of predict what happens to her. I think that if the Democrats are too heavy-handed and backbench her, then they're going to face a sort of insurrection within their own party, in the same way that sort of how the Republicans try to treat Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
End of the day, Ted Cruz prevailed.
Selena,
considered a statesman within the party.
Selena, thank you so much. Selena Zito, you can follow her at Selena Zito on Twitter. She's just a fantastic journalist and writer. Thank you so much for being on the program. You know, it's funny that you're one of 435 and you're not supposed to stand out. Well, that was the problem with Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett went, he was one, you know, of many in Congress. And he stood out. And that's why he eventually said, you can all go to hell. I'm going to Texas.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Simply Safe. I'm so sick and tired of people saying, I feel unsafe. I feel unsafe. Really? Do you even know what that means? you feel unsafe. There's a difference between feeling unsafe and feeling intellectually challenged. One, you need security. The other, I guess maybe you need a security blanket to hold, and maybe a an alligator comfort animal. The other, you need Simply Safe. And I want you to go to simplysafebeck.com. If your home is not secure, that's your castle, man. You've got to secure it for the stuff that you have in the house, more importantly, for your family. And if you've ever been robbed, you know how unsafe you do feel after that. Simply Safe, brand new technology, no contracts, and it's $14.99 a month for the monitoring. You can cancel it anytime. You control your life, control your security, do it the right way. SimplySafeBeck.com. I'd like to start with this one thought and preface this next segment with Texas is closed. Okay? You missed your opportunity to move here. If you're thinking about moving here from Indiana, from Illinois, or from California, it's closed, and you wouldn't believe how horrible it is. They are executing whales on the sides of the streets, and no one can stop it. No matter how many people there are, no one could stop it. So don't come here; it's awful. Anyway, Janice is in Indiana. Janice, welcome to the program.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Stu. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. How cold is it at your house today?
The temperature is about negative 17, negative 18, and the wind chill is between negative 49 and negative 51.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's frostbite in 10 minutes if you're outside with that wind chill.
Don't go outside.
So are school operating? You guys, what are you doing?
My kids have what's called e-learning days. So they have their laptops. They're logged in through Wi-Fi. And I'm sitting on the couch right now with my 12-year-old Cole, and he is working on one of his engineering class on his laptop.
Wow.
He's been FaceTiming his friends, and they're working together on a project, and they're doing it from the couch.
Wow. It sounds like almost like homeschooling and school choice is happening there, but it's not. It's definitely not. It's public school.
We have an amazing school system. Every student has a laptop. If we cancel school, the kids just log onto their laptops, email their teachers if they need something, and they upload the classes, and the kids sit at home and do their work.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's great.
You know, more and more of that is coming, obviously.
I know. I mean, we just get rid of the building. But anyway, Janice, thank you so much. Negative 17. Let's go to Milwaukee. Rob in Wisconsin. I heard in Green Bay it is 40 below zero. Where are you? You're in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm in downtown Milwaukee right now. And right now our air temperature is negative 21. I live a little bit west of the city, and when I left for work this morning around 7:30, air temperature was negative 24, and we have that same kind of negative 48 to negative 50 type wind chills. And the news was telling us that we're actually looking at frostbite potentially within about 4 minutes with those wind chills.
You know, but I don't think I'd believe them unless one of them went out into the wind and stood there and said, this is how cold it really is. Watch my skin turn black. I wonder why they're not doing that. Rob.
Frauds. They've gotten hurricanes, but you know, they're not going to do that with frauds. Come on.
Watch as my fingers turn to ice and fall off. That's the weatherman we're looking for.
I want a committed journalist out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Willing to lose a couple appendages for the story.
Dale in Minnesota. How cold is it in Minnesota?
27 below, Glenn, and same as Green Bay there. We're about 50 or 55 below zero. My buddy's 200 miles north of me. He's 61 below.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And, okay, so how long have you lived in Minnesota?
Oh, God forbid, all my life.
Oh, my gosh.
I move out of there every year. I threaten myself, and like a fool, I never leave.
Well, dude, Dale, there's such a thing as a car.
Yeah.
Get in it and drive south. Anyway, you've lived in Minnesota where it's always cold. Have you ever experienced anything like this?
Yeah, I remember it. You know, I remember stuff like this when I was a kid. I think actually as I grew up there a little bit. I think the weather's gotten better up there. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, you get a cold spurt. But, you know, also, Glenn, I got the heater going on underneath the house trying to thaw the pipes out, too.
Jeez. Crazy.
Well, remember, too,
Dale,
Glenn,
thanks, man. Thanks for listening.
Last year, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl, and they are still champions for several more days.
several more days.
So I'm celebrating every minute
yes,
of it.
Yes, yes.
But, I mean, that was in Minnesota. Can you imagine if the Super Bowl right now is going on with the temperatures minus 30?
No, I can't imagine it because there are a bunch of millionaires who are going to make millions of dollars, but I can't imagine paying to go sit in the stands.
Well, remember, this is an indoor stadium, so the stadium itself would have been fine.
I don't care.
But I mean, think about like...
You have to get there.
There are, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars are being spent on... You know, these events and all this crazy stuff that goes on, and none of the people going are prepared for it. I mean, it's one thing if you've lived in Minnesota your whole life, at least you have a sense of what something like this could be like. Some guy coming in from Miami Beach for the Super Bowl, can you imagine? There'd be dead millionaires all over the streets.
Ocasio-Cortez's dream. And Elizabeth Warren celebrates. Let's go to Rob, also in Wisconsin. Where in Wisconsin? What's your temperature? Hello, Rob. Okay, let's go to Angie in Virginia. This can't be the right temperature. Virginia is negative how much, Angie?
Virginia, Minnesota.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Virginia, Minnesota, how cold?
It's negative 34 without the wind chill. With the wind chill, I think it's negative 54.
When's the last time you went outside?
A few minutes ago to start my car.
And it started?
It did. It was plugged in.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Why are you going out anywhere? Are you nuts?
Yes. We have a doctor appointment.
What, is somebody dying?
No, but...
There will be one soon if you get, you get stopped on the side of the road.
Yeah. I mean, you know, unless it's a root canal that I have to have because it's worse or I'm having a heart attack, I think, honey, no one's leaving to go to the doctor. No, unless it's a psychiatrist for asking us to all get into the car and go to the doctor. Angie, right. thanks for your call. Kevin in Michigan.
Hey, Glenn. Good morning, Stu.
How are you?
Good. I'm actually in Pontiac, Illinois, which is about 100 miles south of Chicago.
Okay.
And we are at negative 24 with the actual temperature and negative 51 with the wind chill. And it's supposed to be down to negative 60 with the wind chill tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
That is insane.
They're looking through the windows, which aren't actually windows anymore. They're sheets of ice.
Are you... I mean, I can't imagine what that feels like. I mean, are you tempted at all just to go outside and go like, wow, that's... I mean, does it feel negative 51? And what does that feel
cold.
Like?
It just feels absolutely cold. It hurts to breathe. The only thing I would go outside for is maybe to load up my truck and move to Texas right now.
Yeah, Texas is closed. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's totally
closed. No visitors.
Yep. Nobody, not taking anybody else. No, sorry. Man, all right, man.
Not even two.
thank you, Kevin. Let me go to last call, Glenn in Minnesota. Then I have a question, a weather question, serious one.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yes, Glenn. We have a serious indicator of cold up here at Thief River Falls, Minnesota. Air temp 38 below, wind chill expected tonight minus 72.
Oh, my gosh.
And they have closed the Arctic Cat snowmobile plant.
Wow. Are you having snow with this?
No. Although I did hear some college kids over in Grand Forks, North Dakota, were throwing hot water out the window, and it was turning to snow before it hit the ground.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, the North
Glenn,
Dakota
thank
was
you so much.
Cold. I was checking around a little bit earlier today, and it looked like North Dakota had the coldest temperatures.
That's why you moved to South Dakota.
Yeah, beautiful South Dakota, beautiful where it's like South only like minus 30.
Yeah,
it's only minus 30.
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. Okay, honest question.
Yes.
I don't know why this is like this, and I think it's humidity. Don't know.
Okay.
You know, when you're in New York City, and it's 20 degrees, you are not going outside without bundling up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let's say there's not a wind.
Okay.
And it's 20 degrees. In the east, it's freezing cold, and you're just not going anywhere. In Idaho, where I have a ranch, it can be 15 degrees, no wind, 15 degrees and sunny, and I could walk out in t-shirt, and I could go out and work or something, and I'll take off my jacket, I'll take off my shirt, because it is hot. Until you move into the shade, the minute there's a wind or you move into the shade, you're like, it's 15 degrees out. It's crazy. Huh. Why? Because it's not like that in other places. Is it the humidity?
I would assume so, right? Like, because they, the same thing with dry heat, right? It's not as bad as the when you have the humidity. You can go to
guess.
But we went to Phoenix one time and did a show there, and it was, you know, 107 degrees outside or whatever it was during the summer, and you walk out and it was hot, but it was not unbearable at all.
I don't think it was 107 when you were there.
You were there with me.
Yeah, I don't think it was 107 because I lived in Phoenix. No. Lived in Phoenix. I'm sorry, but 107 or 110, it's still hot. That's like hot. No. It burns your skin when you go outside. It's hot.
It was
like
hot.
Standing. Phoenix in the summer is like opening up your oven. You got it on 450 degrees. Open the oven and stand about a foot or two away from that door. That's what it feels like in summer in Phoenix. It's hot.
I don't know. I'll take that, though, that experience over when we visited, I think it was Charleston. Charleston. Mm-hmm. And it was in the summer, and it was like 90.
Yeah.
But it was
100% humidity.
It was brutal. It was five seconds outside, constant sweat.
Hated it.
Yeah.
Hated it. I'll take the dry heat. I will take the dry heat. But there is a point to where, you know, a dry heat in your oven, it's still going to cook you.
No, it's true.
Right. I mean, it gets to a point, and it's about 100 to 110, I think. You know, 100 degrees in Phoenix, 95 degrees in Phoenix, not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Not a problem. Is that the reason? Because the snow, when it snows up there, it's almost impossible to make a snowman sometimes. You know, it's like sand almost. You can pick it up. It just won't form a snowball, or it's just so dry.
Real powder, right?
It's real powder.
Hmm. Yeah, I would assume that's it. Can I bring up one other thing too on this?
Yeah.
Something we should probably notice. I was listening to news reports this morning, and this huge, I mean, it's brutal. I mean, you hear these temperatures, minus 40, minus 50 degrees. And it had so far taken four lives, they said. I think two of the people who had died had crashed into snow plows who were driving down the road trying to do that. One person was, I think, found frozen in his garage.
Oh my gosh.
Terrible. I mean, and the number is going to go way up from four, right? Like this is really, really
bad. But still.
But think about capitalism. Think about what has happened. If this would have happened 100 years ago, you would have lost 30,000 people to something like this. Easy.
Easy.
You know, this would have been impossible to navigate. I mean, you just the idea that you have homes that are warm, there are places that they've opened up for shelters for those who need it, who can go and just get heat the entire time. People have adapted to be able to, as we heard from the callers, you plug in your car, you keep the car warm. They're able to go to doctor's appointments in the middle of this. This was basically guaranteed death not that long ago. And because of capitalism, what you'll find here is there will be devastation from something like this, but it'll be so minimized. And at the time that we are hearing that, first of all, this cold snap is a result of global warming, and they want to take away all these innovations. They want to go away from capitalism. They want to go away from all of these things that have protected people. This is a terrible maneuver.
So I will tell you, I have an old cabin that we're restoring, and it's next to the house that we built on our branch. That cabin was built in 1880. That's the coldest damn place you could possibly ever imagine when it's 30 degrees. You go into that cabin, and I don't know how people did it, except they had to have fires burning all the time. It is freezing. I built my house to be green, so we have solar panels and everything else have to be really energy efficient. So at one point, my house was the only house or the first house that actually had this copper sheathing. It's like plastic almost, but it's really thin copper sheathing all the way across on the outside of the frame, and then all the insulation. It can be 0 or 10 below. We've had it, I think, at 10 below for 2 weeks without electricity because something happened to the solar power. With one fireplace, it never got out of 65 degrees inside. Mm. It's crazy how technology and capitalism now inexpensively can actually make it so you don't have to worry about the outdoor elements at all, even if you don't have power. That's what we're missing when we talk about, hey, we got to go to socialism. No, you don't want to go to socialism. Capitalism saves lives. In 100 years, 100 years from log cabin to this. Mm-hmm. Crazy. All right. Let me tell you about our sponsor. It's 1-800-Flowers, 1-800-Flowers.com. There are, you know, a couple of days that you have to have red roses. Red roses, Valentine's Day is one of them. Now, you're going to get a special from 1-800-Flowers.com, and this ends today. It's 18 red roses for $29.99, or you can upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. It's an unbelievable price. You're not going to be able to get the red roses later. We're going to start to approach Valentine's Day, and they're going to get more and more expensive. And you're also going to see the deals will be on multicolored roses because everybody wants red roses for Valentine's Day. Do it right now. Flowers picked at their peak, shipped overnight to ensure freshness. Your flower is not going to be picked today. It's going to be picked a couple of days before Valentine's Day, so it is fresh on Valentine's Day. Do it now. 24 roses, $10 more, or you can get the 18 roses for $29.99. It is promo code BECK at 1-800-Flowers.com. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Guys, the special ends today. Make sure you do it now.
So coming up, we have more on the ridiculous cold weather that's going on right now, as well as some updates on how global warming is causing it. But we also should hit quickly on the Las Vegas massacre from October 1st, 2017. The FBI has finished its investigation, and they nailed it here. What they found was nothing. They have no motive. Do you believe a year and plus after this, we have no idea why this guy did this? 58 people dead, 500 injured, and we have absolutely no idea. They found he had no motivating factor behind the attack, that his actions were inspired by obtaining a certain degree of infamy via a mass casualty attack, but that's about it. They say he spent his life going to great lengths to keep his thoughts private, and that extended to his final thinking about mass murder. Active shooters rarely have a singular motive or reason for engaging in mass homicide. But here we go. Biggest attack in our history of this kind. And we know basically nothing. Relief Factor is our sponsor here. Relief Factor has made a real difference for people that I know. And Glenn is one of them. Glenn is a pain most of the time. A real problem for most people who are... Now you're just going to walk in front of my...
So, I can hear you.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to be able to hear me. It's a radio broadcast. I want people to know that you were a pain. And it improved slightly. I mean, you're still the same person, which unfortunately Relief Factor can't change. But it can take away your pain and help you with it and help you deal with life. And that makes it a lot better.
I can't believe we're still friends after 20 years.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how it happens that we still like each other, and yet we really don't.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know? That's true.
Anyway,
very true. Anyway, ReliefFactor.com is the place to go. Or you can give them a call. It's 800-500-8384. A three-week quick start is only $19.95, and 70% of people buy it again. It could work for you. ReliefFactor.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There's a lot of things that we need to talk about. And there's a lot of ways to talk about them. For instance, the border. But what are we really talking about with the border? We're talking about, did the president win or the president lose? Did Chuck Schumer do the right thing? Nancy Pelosi, did they beat him or not? That's not why we need to talk about the border. I'm going to tell you something that you have not heard anywhere else, that is probably one of the bigger national security things that we should be concerned with. And it revolves around our border. And it's a reason, a prime reason, why we should be very concerned that we don't have a fence or a wall on our border. I do that in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It is X Chair. We're sitting in X Chairs right now, and they are so comfortable, and you can adjust them. You know, when you kind of move in your seat, you can adjust it because you don't. I mean, I don't know about you, but I you're sitting in a chair for a long time. You got to move. It's got to adjust. And this is easy to adjust. It's easy to move around in. It's easy to get comfortable. And it is the only, honestly, the only chair that I've ever sat in that is an office chair that I think is as comfortable as a recliner. Have you sat all the way back on that, yeah, Sue?
That is a big difference, too, when you get kind of get ease into it a little bit and get used to it.
Yeah.
You kind of just sit back. It's really comfortable.
Like, you can, like, sit back, yeah, like it's really like in a recliner like this.
Yeah.
And it's more comfortable than a recliner.
I wanted that thing to tip over so bad when you did that.
Yeah, well, it doesn't because it's a...
I know, but I really... Extra. Even with X-Chair, I think they would have liked it, too. I think X-Chair would have been... I hope we made one faulty chair that would have just fallen over.
This is not helpful.
Unfortunately,
this is
not helpful. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen.
X-Chair, it won't happen. They don't make faulty chairs. So if you have a big fat friend that goes sits back in it, you can't laugh. That's a drawback. X-Chair and the X-Chair Basic. Get them now. They are really great. You get a free footrest, $100 off, and the free footrest if you use the promo code Beck. Visit xchairbeck.com, 844-4XChair, 844-4XChair. Promo code BECK. Mexico is going to be a full-on crisis because they're already in crisis themselves. And you're not hearing anybody report on this. Now, what do we learn about the president, the new president of Mexico? Nobody's really talking about this either. What do we know about the president of Mexico, newly elected?
He's basically a socialist.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a little like Maduro, where he was, he's just a common people. He didn't want to take, he takes the bus. Remember, Maduro was a bus driver. He takes the bus. He's one with the people. He's just like you. And he doesn't want all the trappings of the office and everything else because he's a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this is part of, the reaction, right? You think of the Mexican side of this whole, border wall thing.
Mm-hmm.
The past president was dealing with Donald Trump and having conversations with him about these things. Never friendly, but they were at least talking. And so the Mexican people were like, well, we don't like that guy. We don't like what he says about our country. So they elected the crazy socialist, and they're feeling the side of that pendulum, which is now mm-hmm. swinging towards Venezuela.
Yes.
Which they're you talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face. That's what they're doing.
And you really want to talk about Venezuela as well in this, because there's only a few countries that are supporting now Maduro. There has been a legal challenge to the presidency, and the new president that everyone in the West, South America, I think for exception of Cuba and Bolivia, the Southern Hemisphere is with the new president. England, Spain, Italy, Germany, everybody in the West is also for the new challenger to Maduro, and they recognize him as the president. It's countries like Turkey, China, I think Iran, Russia, Cuba, and Mexico that say we back Maduro.
And that is, there's been so much talk about Mexico in a negative sense, but really, they've been a trading partner of ours. There's a lot of problems we have between the countries, but like it was one of the things we brought up a lot during the oil crisis when people will be like, well, we have to get out of oil out of X, Y, and Z. Well, actually, a lot of our oil a lot of our resources come right from Canada and Mexico. The vast majority of that stuff comes from nearby. That is turning, though. I mean, Mexico is turning into, instead of a country that we have some problems with, but generally speaking, have had good relations with, this country goes socialist. Can you imagine a socialist country across that border? What that's going to mean for the border? I mean, you don't think you need the wall now. Imagine if that turns into Venezuela, what you're going
to
need.
I don't really need to help you imagine too much. Let me give you the story. First, one question, and then I'll give you the story. Stu, what was the first thing that Venezuela... Remember, Venezuela had a higher rate of wealth and living standards than most European countries.
Yeah, I think there were Switzerland
third or fourth
in the world.
In the world,
it was us. It was Switzerland. There was one other one I think ahead of them.
Right, and that was in the '90s.
That's incredible. Right. When you think about that.
Right. Then Chavez comes in, mm-hmm. and what was the first thing he did? Nationalized oil.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where they were getting their money. They nationalized oil because it was too corrupt. Too corrupt.
Too corrupt.
Okay. Here's the story. Wake up, America. Mexico is battling an enormous problem with its oil pipelines. Oil thieves in Mexico have been drilling holes in Mexico's extensive network of oil and gas pipelines across the country to steal fuel and sell it on the black market. State-owned oil company Pemex found more than 12,500 illegal holes in the pipeline last year. 12,000 holes in the pipeline.
It's not really a pipeline at that point.
No, it's a sprinkler. It's, mm-hmm. you know, 12,000 holes. You would think that they might put a fence or a wall around.
Walls
this
don't
pipeline.
Work, Glenn. They're and You're they're
right.
immoral.
You're right. The oil thieves, some of them went as far as building a 2 mile long pipe or straw from the hole they drilled. Okay. You are really not paying attention if somebody can build a 2 mile long pipe from your pipeline.
I like the straw analogy because that, I mean, they're trying to ban all over the straws in our restaurants. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
That's the
ban straws.
Innovative. Just 2 mile really. Straws.
Selling oil on the secondary market has been highly lucrative as a business in Mexico, and some farmers take up jobs as lookouts for thieves, and they can earn 5 times more than they can, you know, tending their fields in Mexico. It's also incredibly dangerous. More than 80 people recently died in a pipeline explosion north of Mexico City while they were trying to siphon off oil and gas. So Mexico's new socialist president has decided he's going to change the way things are in
Mexico.
Too corrupt. Too corrupt. Mm-hmm. And he has ordered now, nobody's going to steal oil from this pipeline because he's ordered it to be shut down.
Oh, well, that's true. Then no one would, if there's
exactly
no oil
right.
going through it, then
exactly
who would steal
right.
from it?
Problem
exactly solved.
Right. And he said, we can just go back to the way it was before we had the pipeline with trucks. We'll ship everything on trucks and trains. Well, there's a couple of problems with that. One, why did you do the pipeline in the first time? Well, because it's cheaper. In fact, by shipping it via trucks, it is 14 times more expensive. Plus, it takes weeks longer to arrive at the stations. The result? Well, there's gas shortages. But it's going to be okay, everybody, because he's got it under control. Now, the gas shortages are so bad across the entire country, including the biggest city of Mexico City in Guadalajara, more than 1,000 gas stations have been closed. Many still open have limited purchases of gas at 5 gallons per customer. The lines to get the gas in Mexico where there is gas can reach up to a mile long. People now are hoarding gasoline and reselling the gasoline on the black market. So he has taken one black market and shut it down. And that black market was not creating gas lines and shortages. He shut that one down to create another black market, but his original step to fix it has now caused gas shortages. Now there are millions of people around Mexico that have no access to gas. They cannot go to work, they can't drive to see their families, and they can't go about their lives as they did just a few days ago. It's beginning to look a lot like Venezuela. Everywhere you look.
It's a beautiful song.
Thank you. I wrote that. I just wrote that now. This is Venezuela's story. Venezuela, now with hyperinflation, the average monthly wage
for the country that in the late 90s, I think 99, Chavez took over, it had one of the highest rates of living standards in the world. Top five living standards in the world. Their now monthly average monthly wage is $32 a month. They're running out of food. They're running out of water. They don't have medicine. They don't have toilet paper. And here's the key. What else is happening besides the riots in the streets now? What else is happening en masse in Venezuela?
Parties?
No.
No, okay. I just guessed. I didn't know.
People pouring over the border to get out, to go somewhere where there is a standard of living that includes people who are living. So, what do you think is going to happen in Mexico as Mexico goes down this road of socialism and starts off exactly the way that Hugo Chavez did? Now you have gas shortages. Gas shortages mean you can't go to work. You can't afford anything else. You've got to go somewhere where it's not happening. There is going to be, in the next 3 years, there is going to be a massive surge on our border. Mark my words, if Mexico goes socialist, truly socialist, and they continue down this road that is now being set by their president, and they go down the road of Venezuela, we are going to have a massive immigration problem on our borders. And I mark my words, if this happens, you will hear it in your lifetime. You will have people coming over our southern border saying, you stole our land, and they will kill our farmers. They will kill our ranchers. They will kill people who are on, quote, their land. It will happen. So what do we learn from this? Well, we should probably be talking about things that are really important and not who's winning and who's losing on the border, but how America will lose if we don't take care of our border right now. The other thing, you know, it's like when you read about people who are so stupid and you're like, how do they miss this? Right now, I'm telling you a story about Venezuela and now Mexico going down the same road. And you have to at least have thought, or at least, it, you know, it's when I say it, you go, yeah, right. How could the people of Mexico be this stupid? They're seeing it happen in Venezuela. Yeah, well, let's not be so high and mighty. How can we be this stupid? We're doing exactly the same thing. Yesterday, I told you a story. I told you a story about our monetary system that here it is, that you should pay attention to. Asia, Russia publicly have swapped reserve dollars for gold. These countries are getting out of U.S. dollars. Why are they doing it? Also, Central Europeans, Hungary and Poland, are also accumulating the gold reserves. They know which way the wind is blowing. You have all kinds of things that are putting pressure now on our U.S. dollar. When our dollar gets to a point to where the world splits and half of the countries are in Axis powers and they say, you know what, we're dumping the dollar as our exchange rate, anything that is valued in a dollar is going to go through the floor and we're going to be swimming in dollars. When that happens, what does the world do? China, Russia, Iran, even Turkey, all of these countries that are against us are dumping the dollar and they're already going into gold. Other countries that are smart, like Switzerland, are also buying up more gold. It is our weak spot. We don't have gold reserves anymore. Or at least they're really sketchy. May I suggest you protect yourself with gold? Please. I'm telling you, we are headed for a superstorm of biblical proportions. Please Go to Goldline and find out if it's right for you. They're waiting for your call right now. It's 866-GOLDLINE, 866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I got my money out of the stock market. I would highly recommend you do the same. 866-GOLDLINE. Do your own homework. I am not an advisor. You've got to look at it yourself. 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. 10 seconds, station ID.
So, I was thinking about this as you were talking about Mexico going down this passive path of socialism. And it's the same thing that happened in Venezuela, where you start with these sort of, you know, high aspirations. This utopia can be there. That's what's promised. And then when you get there and the process goes on, there's new problems that pop up. And these problems are always blamed on someone else. And they come up with some little replacement way, like they're putting in all the oils on trucks. And when that happens, they'll come up with, say, that's too corrupt. And now we need to nationalize it. And it goes down this road until you get to complete collapse, which you're seeing in Venezuela. Socialism is essentially the fire festival. The documentaries that came out.
Oh, you are so right.
It's exactly the same thing. They started out, they sent all these supermodels down to an island in the Bahamas.
It's amazing.
And they gave you this 30-second unbelievable promo that looked like the greatest event of all time. It's all freaking supermodels, and they're riding jet skis, and they're eating, you know, glorious gourmet food, and this is going to be fantastic. So all these people get excited about it. They all jump on board. It's the thing that everyone's talking about. And in that process, behind the scenes, they're coming up with huge problems. They're trying to fix them. They're redirecting everything. They can't figure out a way to solve these problems. And they keep pushing it down the line until the people show up and it's desolate and a complete destruction.
Because they do what socialists do.
Yeah.
And that is, they come up with an idea that's utopian. It's great. But they haven't thought of the infrastructure. They haven't thought, how many planes can we even land on this island in a short period of time? You don't have the infrastructure to do that. How about the bathroom facilities? Yes, you can go and go to the bathroom right now and it's fine. But if you have 40,000 people here, do we even have bathroom facilities? How about electricity? So they didn't think of any of those things. They were just promising this utopia, thinking we can pull it off. Don't worry, we'll pull it off.
We'll figure it out.
All the way to the end, to where people were still coming in. They were on their way, and everyone had said, this is going to be a disaster. And they were still telling themselves, no, we're going to be like Woodstock. That was a mess, too. But we're going to do it. This time, it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, listen to what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says when they say, how are you going to pay for all this? We'll find a way. That's the same thing that happened with the fire festival. They kept saying, well, we'll find a way. Yeah, there's these problems and this problems. But again, we'll get through this. We'll find a way. We can do it.
Yeah, we're looking for people. They fired people over and over and over again because all the way along, the people were saying, no, I'm an expert in this. It can't be done. You have to cancel this. And they fired and they said, we're looking for people who do, not just bring complaints.
Yeah.
Figure out how to do it. And they're like, we can't figure out. You're fired.
And it's funny,
we're going to do it.
These documentaries have been used in some ways as a critique on capitalism because these millennials were throwing all their money around and these guys were all greedy and they kept doing that. It's really the story of every socialist nation on earth. It starts with that utopian promise. It degrades over time and it ends in complete collapse. That is the story of every one of them. And it's the same story with the fire festival. They ran it like a socialist country. You're right. They took out people, all the economists who said, the socialized this and that won't work. They just ignore and find new economists who say that their plans will work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what the fire festival did as well. Mm-hmm. They kept bringing people, new people in. They started trying to have to work 24 hours a day to try to get these things done.
At the people who did the 5-year plan over in China.
Yeah.
Mao, he came up with a 5-year plan. The first economist stood up and said, it's not going to work. They were executed. Then they went through it. And I don't know how many millions of people died the first year. New economists came in and said, okay, we just want to let you know, X number of million people have died this year. They were executed. Nobody said anything on year 3 or year 4. But going into year 5, said the same thing. Mao. Millions have died. It doesn't work. Wow, this is how we should stop it and we can change it. They were executed.
it will work. It doesn't. The math has to be done. And I'm sorry, but math is not racist. Math is universal. It's universal. And the math must work. When you say, let's just truck it in and everything will be fine, it'll stop corruption, somebody should have said, it's 14 times more expensive. This will cause gas shortages and a new black market will pop up. But I guarantee somebody did say it. They weren't listened to because this time it's different. We don't want to hear about problems. We want solutions.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Security breach occurs when somebody gains unauthorized access to an organization's protected systems and data, and cyber criminals or malicious applications bypass security mechanisms to reach the restricted areas that nobody should have. And security breaches can be initiated with viruses and spyware and other malware. I'm going to tell you a story after the break here about something that is happening in the UAE with U.S. spies. People who worked for the NSA quit and started working over for the UAE, and you won't believe what they were doing. 700 million people were just compromised recently. Everybody has been breached, pretty much everybody. And if you haven't yet, it's only a matter of time. The only people that can save you from this and get you out if there is a problem, because nobody can stop all cyber threats, it's LifeLock. Use the promo code Beck. You're going to save 10% first year. LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code Beck.
Did you catch the media meltdown special on Blaze TV last night? Lots more of this stuff coming. Now's the time to get on board. BlazeTV.com/Beck. Promo code is Beck.
Project Raven is the name of something that was going on that you have no idea. I'm going to tell you all about it tomorrow, but I want to give you just a quick tease of this. Several of the intelligence analysts from the NSA left in 2014, and Lori Stroud was one of them, and she went to work along with some other co-workers in the Arab world, and they started working from the United States government, leaving and going to work for the UAE government, an Arab country. And she joined something called Project Raven. And it was a clandestine team that had about a dozen former U.S. operatives and spies, if you will, working for the NSA. And they went to the UAE to engage in surveillance of other governments, militants, and human rights activists critical of the monarchy. Now, I don't know about you, but as an American citizen, I immediately think I might be on the wrong side here. If I am going against people who are against the monarchy and are human rights advocates. But they went along with it anyway. So they were working out of this mansion known as the Villa out of Abu Dhabi. And they had everything they needed in, you know, for the NSA, the UAE got for them. And they were in this villa, and they were for 3 years hacking in and following people and tagging people that were a danger to the monarchy. And, you know, gee, what happened to them? I don't know. Let's not think about it too much. They crossed a line at some point when the UAE came to them and said, hey, we need you to start spying on some Americans for us. And that's when they realized, at least Lori did, she said, I believe I'm officially a bad kind of spy. Now, I don't know why it was spying on Americans that, you know, made the choice, but this is going on. I'll give you the end of the story tomorrow, but I also want to tell you that this is what's happening with Google and China. They are officially, as a company, going over and they are helping round up people who might be Catholic, but they're too Catholic. They're not a communist Catholic. They might be Muslim. They might just be a free market person, might be a mom or dad, but Google will help find them. What's the difference between these guys from the NSA and the people in Google? And will Google stop when they say, hey, we need to monitor some of these fringe people in America that, you know, are just going on and on about the Constitution? Will Google label you an extremist, and will they be fine monitoring you, or will they be like Lori and suddenly say, no?
last night, we only touched on this just a little bit, on this coming collusion between the old media, the new media on the left, and tech with government. But it's coming, and I'm afraid our voices are going to be snuffed out if we don't all come together. And last night, we came together, you know, all of the talent that we could fly in and, you know, didn't have other shows and commitments. We flew them in last night. There was, what, 20 of us here last night? Eric Bowling hosted it. I was there the whole time. And it was interesting to watch, especially when Bill O'Reilly came on.
Yeah. We have a clip of that, actually.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. This is from last night's special Media Meltdown on Blaze TV. Listen.
It's important that people who watch this program and go to BillO'Reilly.com and listen to Beck on the radio and go to The Blaze, that they know it's no longer about media bias. All right? Mm-hmm. It's about money, because the big corporations, Disney, Comcast controls NBC, CBS, want to make money. All right? And they know they can target a liberal crew that hates Trump for a consistent audience, and that's what they're doing.
So, Bill, can I
They're not seeking the truth.
Can I?
So that's number one. And number two, the New York Times and the Washington Post, the only two newspapers of note left in America, have banded together and said, we want progressive socialism. We want, and we're going to validate it. So the combination is way beyond any bias that Bernie Goldberg wrote about way back when, or that we experienced, all three of us, in our television careers. Yes. It's way beyond that now, and people need to know it.
He was very clarifying last night about the media and how we've got to stop talking about media bias, because we sound like idiots talking about media bias. This is now all about money, and they just don't care. And they will steamroll anyone, because they know if they fall into bed with the right people, they'll be able to control the system, milk the system, and eventually be the system.
And the bias is still there.
Yeah.
It's now just an ingredient instead of its motivating factor,
yes,
which is different.
Yes.
Also had Ali and Lauren on last night, this is one of the things I think I really like about the Blaze TV overall, is that you kind of have, you have young and old, you have, you know, kind of a libertarian to conservative. You have that whole spectrum and all a bunch of different viewpoints. Both Ali and Lauren are millennials who are talking about conservative things, which is, I know, shocking to hear in the media. You don't hear much of it on any of the main networks, including Fox.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking about the media landscape and what it looks like today.
What is the process for a young person, conservative or liberal, doesn't matter, to make an impact in media?
Or old person.
Well, I kept my day job until I came and I worked at The Blaze. But in my off time, I just started to write blog posts at theconservativemillennialblog.com. And I would do videos on my phone that I would maybe edit on my computer if I could figure that out. And then I would post them. I did that for a long time, not getting any views or any followers whatsoever. But after a while, people just started paying attention. It really is amazing the kind of audience that you can build. I already don't know if that might be shifting a little bit. I feel like we kind of came in a little bit of a sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
But it is totally possible to use the equipment that you have, as long as you are listenable, you are saying something that people want and need to hear.
How do you monetize that, Lauren?
Well, I mean, to monetize it and to make it out a career, you do need to not only have a message, you also, I think, having some good business sense helps. But I think for a lot of people, it's not necessarily having to make this into a career. It's about wanting to be heard. Because I've been on so many smaller channels or part-time podcasters or whatever, which is, you know, how we both started off, who they don't necessarily want to make a lot of money doing this or make a name for themselves. They just want to get their message out there.
That is, it was an interesting conversation, because we talked about what the truth is about the media, the corporations, the new media tech companies. Then we talked about how millennials are so important, and how different they are, and how they reach a completely different audience. And then on top of it, we talked a little bit about the audience and what we need to do to help the audience. And it starts by listening to you, and how you can train yourself. And it's going to lead to another special that I'm producing I don't even want to say when, but it's coming, and it's going to be really in depth on the media and our responsibility as citizens. Got a lot of feedback on it. Elliot wrote, Glenn, great show tonight. Really refreshing. Somebody else, the best TV I've ever watched or watch. Can we have a fair election without voter fraud? No. Let's see. Joni, excellent show today. Served as a remedy for the anxiety this insane culture is causing. Having Bill O'Reilly's input was massively reassuring. Please keep up the great programming because good media has all but disappeared. Thanks, Blaze TV Live. Media Meltdown was awesome. I know that live news is much more expensive, but I truly enjoyed this, and I hope another live special will come soon.
Are we doing State of the Union coverage now?
Yes, next week.
We are, on the 5th. Okay.
And it's going to be another team thing where Eric is going to be hosting this one. He's our lead political guy in Washington, D.C. He's going to be leading it, but we're doing it down here as well. I'll be leading the discussion down here, and I think everybody's going to be involved in that. And you can subscribe or just join for free. I think there's a month free thing going on right now. Just try it for a month for free. You can go to blaze.com. I'm sorry. You have to go to blazetv.com/Beck. Use the promo code Beck. You'll save 10% on that. This is the best value in conservative TV. Why isn't everyone subscribed? Is there another one from John said, is there any place where you can get this much American right talent, conservative talent? No, there's not.
Never has been. I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, that's the great thing about it. It's both. A lot of people subscribe to both services, you know, CRTV back in the day and The Blaze. Now you get all of that for the same price as one of them.
Yeah. And we'll be adding more talent as we go. It'll be talent from all across the spectrum, and we're excited about the things we're working on. Please join us. Our State of the Union special is going to happen next Tuesday night, and it will be live again, Blaze TV Live. So join us for that, and that happens next week. Again, blazetv.com/Beck, promo code Beck. If you're in constant pain, you are not alone. I've been in pain for a long time. Just about everybody you know is in some sort of pain. Over 50 million people miss work due to pain. The average American spends about $2,000 a year to combat their pain. The average American, 66% of us, expect to live the rest of our life in pain. That's no way to live. It's no way to live. Now, get rid of all of your pain? Maybe. Lessen your pain? I'll take that. I've had something that I've taken now. It's called Relief Factor, and I've taken it for the last year, and I recommend you take it for 3 weeks, and if it doesn't work, stop taking it. But if it does work, 70% of the people who try it go on to order more month after month after month. I've taken it for a year, and it has greatly diminished my pain.
You only get that 3 weeks for less than $20.
Yeah, so you're out $20 if it doesn't work, boy, but you get your life back if it does. It's a natural, drug-free way to ease your pain, get your life back. Get to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 800-500-8384. It's ReliefFactor.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I love this. Police have asked criminals not to commit crimes because it's too cold. Also, Russia proposes easing laws on corruption, saying sometimes corruption is just unavoidable. We'll give you those stories tomorrow. But let's take the show here for a couple of minutes into the crazy zone of socialism here in America. Let's go to Kamala Harris, who is crystal clear on her healthcare stance. Well, she was on Monday, and then she kind of reversed herself, and I want to really kind of examine that here for a second. Here she is.
I believe it will totally eliminate private insurance. So for people out there who like their insurance, they don't get to keep it?
Well, listen, the idea is that everyone gets access to medical care. And you don't have to go through the process of going through an insurance company, having them give you approval, going through the paperwork, all of the delay that may require. Who of us has not had that situation where you got to wait for approval and the doctor says, well, I don't know if your insurance company is going to cover this. Mm. Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Remember,
Glenn Beck is a conspiracy theorist because he said, it's right there. It's not a Trojan horse. It's just right there. This is a step to single-payer health care.
As was admitted by the Tides Foundation and when Obamacare was introduced.
Well, yeah, that's right. That wasn't me saying that. That was them saying that. The architects of Obamacare saying this is just the step in between. This, we know this won't work, and so we'll have to force everybody out of their private health care. Now, remember, this all started with the promise that it's going to be cheaper. Just doing Obamacare is going to be cheaper, going to save everybody $2,000. It didn't. It's cost everybody an arm and a leg. And is your service getting better? Is anything getting better?
No,
it's getting worse. Mm-hmm. That's why everybody's panicked. So what are they going to do? They're now going to say, single-payer system, that's the way we need to go.
And this is kind of a new step as far as Democrats go, because they've been saying Medicare for all. And the implication there is that if you don't have health insurance, if you're unhappy with your health insurance, you can opt into a publicly available Medicare option without being the age of Medicare. So you can get into it if you want to get into it. Now, notice the slight multi-trillion dollar shift here, which is now everybody is under Medicare. It's legitimately Medicare forced on all for everyone in the country. This is something that would cost trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, and you would lose access to your health care. You'd have to go through the government to get it.
Now, that's what she said. But then some Democrats said, hey, that's a little crazy. We don't know if we want to say that. And so she has revised this. And what she has revised to is, oh, well, no, I mean, maybe I'm willing to talk about it. And I mean, maybe we can negotiate so some people can keep their health care. Oh, okay. So maybe some people, so you're willing to go to almost all socialist to socialist.
Wow, that's a wide range of negotiation there.
I'm willing to negotiate with the Trojan horse, or I'm just willing to just go all socialist.
I mean, Lenin and Stalin would have had an interesting negotiation, I'm sure, over many topics.
Right.
And I'm sure that would have been fascinating. Although I guess she's giving us a little bit more than Maxine Waters is giving us. She's got a theory on the Trump administration, which is fascinating. And she has a lot behind it, a lot of evidence. Listen.
I believe, and I don't have the proof, but I believe that Manafort was sent to the campaign to be there to ensure that they get Trump elected in every way that they possibly could.
Wow.
And this is in exchange for him lifting the sanctions. I believe.
So she's Manafort got was a Russian spy
sent by Putin to ensure, which again her evidence is none.
You're only going by her word that she has no proof of it. Other than that, who knows how much she has?
She doesn't even have an anonymous source.
No,
we've gone from anonymous sources to I have zero evidence. I just want to say, Paul Manafort, he's a Russian spy.
But you were making a lot of wild claims, Glenn. I wanted people to remember that.
Well, I was a conspiracy theorist because I did say Van Jones in the Obama administration did claim to be a communist. I just wanted to know if he was still a communist and did they know his communist past. But I was ridiculed for asking those kinds of questions with the breadcrumb that leads you to that statement. Maxine's got none of it. She just wants you to know Paul Manafort's a Russian spy.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.